click. Thank you, Larry. That reading is not our text this morning. Our text is Joshua 14. If you have your electronic Bibles, your paper Bibles, your memorized Bibles, whatever. And good morning, by the way. It's great to see you here this morning. I have lots of visitors. It was a very uplifting and wonderful gathering yesterday to think about our brother Ward, and we have a lot of his family and friends here today. We especially want to welcome Roscoe and Joyce Pirtle, longtime friends of Ward, especially, and Ward's brother Bob and his wife Joyce. Uncle Bob and Joyce are here, and lots others. And just a heads up to the church here in Mount Vernon, right when we're dismissed and closing out, announcements are done and all that, the K's family is going to zip out of here right to that corner out in the yard and take a quick picture, or pictures. And then a bunch of them have to head out and hit the airport right away. So if the speaker isn't long-winded, they'll have time to do that. And here is our topic next week. See, I speak so fast, we're already into next week. No failing words. And the church in Mount Vernon is going to rejoice because that'll be our last lesson in Joshua. Yay! I just see the happy smiles. Oh, man, it's been a year. It's only been a year that we've been in Joshua. But I've thrown other lessons in there, and we've had other men speak. And today's topic is, let's see. There we go. Let's see. Okay. My slides aren't moving. Oh, there we go. It's slow. Today's topic, you take your family news and you see the top setting your mind, take a pen, scratch that out, and put the God-drenched mind. That's what we're talking about this morning, the God-drenched mind. Will you or I ever hear on the evening news or internet news that there is no bad news today, it's all good? Again, are we ever going to hear that? Not a chance. I mean, right now is a great example of it. Is what's dominating headlines now, here in America anyway, is the Irma, Hurricane Irma. And it's not good news what she is going to do when she hits land. Bad news. Problems happen to everyone, don't they? Is that a true statement? At some time or another throughout one's lifetime, we live in a fallen world, so we're never going to have a problem-free life. And not all people see challenges or problems the same way. Is that a true statement? All gets down to the attitude, doesn't it? We are either overcome by problems or we overcome our problems. Some people wind up bitter, and some people are left better. Just choices and consequences, or the way we approach things, is very important. Some face their challenges with fear, and others face them with faith, and such is the case with Caleb here in Joshua 14. I want to look at a little bit of historical background, not hysterical, historical, and then three keys to a Caleb-like faith or spirit. Historical background is that Caleb here approaches Joshua. Verse 6, sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, so Caleb's going to say some words to Joshua. And he's going to refer to 40 years earlier. He's going back in time to 45, actually, years earlier when the children of Israel had just freshly made their way out of Egypt through the power of God. And they're out there, they've had the law given to them, if I get the chronology correct, and they are ready to go in. The Lord is ready to go in and send them in to the land of Canaan, the promised land, and they send 12 spies in there. Do you remember that? 12 spies. check out the land. What's it like? And they come back with a report, don't they? Oh, man, and this is interesting. All 12 of them agree. That land is lush. It's rich. It's overflowing with resources, with produce. They all agreed there's fortified cities and huge inhabitants. And where did they disagree? Two said, we can take it. They believed the land could be taken. What's in that belief? Trust. Who did they trust? Jehovah God, right? The other 10, fearful. That's a characteristic of a lack of faith in many, many times. And the 10 tribes agreed with their respective spies and ended up wandering in the wilderness. Out there, they were taught how to depend upon God completely. But sadly, consequences were already set in place. They were not allowed, that generation, the ones that did not believe, were not allowed into the promised land. That's been our basis here in this Joshua series, is looking at the wilderness wanderings and their symbolism, and looking at those wanderings as representing the immature, defeated Christian life. And then going into Canaan, the first 7 years of conquest, we've been looking at them as the victorious life in Christ. Well, even with all its challenges and giants and fortified cities, spiritually speaking, we've been looking at Joshua and how we can overcome those things with the power and help of God. Amen? Y'all remember that? It's only been a year since we started. Yeah. God noticed something about Caleb back there in Numbers 14:24. God noticed Caleb's courage, he noticed his conviction, he noticed his resolve, and he noticed his trust. And boy, wouldn't you like the Lord to say this about you? My servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. Isn't that beautiful? That's in Numbers 14:24. What type of spirit catches the eye of God? And what qualifies as a different spirit? The answer is going to emerge in the distribution of the land where the sons of Judah approach Joshua. And Caleb says in verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as was in my heart. Now, as I continue reading, I'm going to read fairly quickly. There is two words that I want you to focus on. And see if you can figure out what is being emphasized, what I'm going to emphasize from Caleb here. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord, my God, fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever. This is Caleb talking. Because you have followed the Lord, my God, fully. Now behold, the Lord has sent me, has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And behold, now I'm 85 years old today. I am still as strong as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, Joshua, give me this hill country, this mountain about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there, the large giants, with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. What is Caleb emphasizing? What am I emphasizing from Caleb there? Can you figure that out? The Lord. That's right. The Lord. Caleb's speech. Six verses, and the Lord is mentioned nine times. The Lord, 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 the Lord. Caleb mentions Jehovah nine times. Nine times, folks. How about you? If we were to read a transcript of your mind in the next week or the next few months, what would be the transcript of your mind? The economy, the economy, the economy, the economy. The problem, the problem, the problem, the problem. The bills, the debts, the bills, the debts, the bills. The traffic, the traffic, the traffic, the traffic. The jerk, the jerk, the jerk, the jerk, the jerk, the jerk. Is that what permeates your mind? Those type of things? What's your mind been immersed in? Caleb's mind is drenched just in this speech, small conversation we have with Joshua, with the Lord. Promised Land people do not deny the existence of problems. Canaan, our Canaan is loaded with Jerichos and giants and evil alliances. I'm thinking of those five kings that went against Joshua and the people. It does no good to deny the fact that Canaan's loaded with problems. But servants like Caleb, and hopefully you and I are, we're not naive, or we shouldn't be. Caleb immersed his mind in what we could call God thoughts. And I didn't originate that, but I think it's great. Immerse our mind in God thoughts, spiritual things, things that are from above. I'm going to illustrate it this way. So here's what Caleb did. He immersed his mind in God thoughts. Can you immerse your mind in God thoughts? Let's illustrate it this way. We take an apple and we cut it in half. And we have two cooking bowls. One is filled with pure, clean, fresh spring water from Cascade Mountain somewhere. Just came out of the ground. It's clear. It's beautiful. Tastes great. The other bowl is filled with battery acid. And you take one half of that apple, put it in the water, the other in the acid here, let it soak for what, 10 minutes? We'll let it soak, we can talk and chat, and then we're quiet, and I take the halves out of there, and I ask you, which one do you want to eat? Which one's going to look good to eat? Probably not this one, but this one, even though it's a little wet, it will taste good, right? It's still pure. It's still a good apple. The other one has been contaminated and corrupt. What's the illustration? Well, the apple represents your mind. And the good water represents God and God thoughts and thoughts from God. And the acid represents problems. Problems and negativity are the battery acid. When you marinate your mind in problems, it's going to corrode and corrupt your attitude. Amen? That's right. It's toxic. Spiritually toxic. And eventually it'll take a toll on your health. And I mean even physically. But if you marinate your mind, soak your mind on thoughts and promises of God, it will refresh and preserve your attitudes, will it not? I think so. This is where we need to be careful in the long term about what we soak our mind in. Long-term content, things like TV and movies and internet. Younger people and older people, beware of the desensitization of many of those things. Caleb had a different spirit because he soaked his mind in God. And we can build on this. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Or dwell on whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and the list goes on. That's Philippians 4:8. And what does he say at the end of that verse? Think on these things. Put those things in your mind. That's the pure fresh water, correct? Soak your mind on those things. The psalmist showed us how to soak our mind in God thoughts. He says, hope in God, Psalm 42:5-6, for I shall yet praise him, I will remember you. Do you see the resolve expressed here? I shall again, or I shall yet. And he goes on to say, I will remember you, Lord, everywhere I go. So, brethren, how about you? How about everywhere you go, will you remember the Lord? Whether it's to the courtroom, or the unemployment line, or the ICU, or you follow a loved one to the cemetery. Nothing's easy about this. Troubles pounce on us like rain from Hurricane Harvey. And he dumped a lot of it, didn't he? I was watching some of that, and it was amazing to see the resolve and the determination of rescuers and even people trying to be rescued, getting themselves out of harm's way. Took a lot of energy, a lot of effort, a lot of people involved. How about finding God? Not finding Nemo, not finding Dory. How about finding God? Takes every ounce of discipline, doesn't it? Do you really want to meditate on your misery? Ken says no, don't really want to do that. Will problems turn you into a better person if you meditate upon those? Absolutely not. But changing your mindset will. John 14, 27, Jesus specifically talking to his disciples, and they were going to face some serious issues. But overall, there's a principle I think we can learn from here. He tells them, do not let your heart be troubled or fearful. One paraphrase says, don't let your heart be agitated or disturbed. And sadly, I think many of us allow our hearts to roll in that pathway. But we need to determine, I'm encouraging you to determine and say to yourself, I am not going to be an injustice collector. It's just not the pathway I'm going to go down. There's choices. You can be stressed and anxious and upset, or what? Starts with a T and I heard it. Trust in God. Amen? Think about it, brethren. Think about what Caleb could have done here. He could have cursed God. Why? Because he spent 40 stinking years in the wilderness and he didn't deserve it. Have you ever thought about that? His peers, described as having an evil heart of unbelief from the New Testament, and he had to wander around, he and Joshua, wander around out there, maybe some other faithful, but the majority wandered out there in the wilderness and they perished out there. Ugh. Wilderness wandering, where he could have been in the promised land 40 years earlier. He had dreams that he was holding on to for 4 decades. Yet, did he grow sour? He didn't. Did he complain? Nope. Nope. And when it came time for him to inherit property, he stepped forward with a God-drenched mind. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Right? Colossians. We're not at Ephesians. Colossians encourages us, 3:20 or 3:2. Set your mind where? In the things above. Set your mind above. That's right. What's up there? Spiritually speaking, God and His splendor. Amen. Now, in your outline there in the middle, you got 4 verses, Psalms 83, Exodus 15, Psalm 89, Isaiah 6:3. Read those sometime. Maybe at lunch today. And they describe just how high God is, and how holy He is, and how awesome He is. Brethren, the Father has resources and wisdom that we do not have and never imagine. Yes, He is far above the mess on this earth, but He still desires to connect with His creation, doesn't He? You and me, especially, mankind. And we can connect to Him through whom? Our Joshua, Jesus Christ. That's right. But we need to set our minds where He is. Ephesians 3:20. I love this one. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, to, above, three, all that we ask or even think. When you come across a problem, sit down and think about that problem for a little bit. You can even outline it, draw pictures about how awful it is, and hang it on the wall. And then I want you to ponder 9 thoughts about God. His kindness, His mercy. I mean, we get a lot of one words, huh? Patience, long-suffering, same thing. Wisdom. How long can your list be? Just in 9 thoughts about God, can you go past 9? I think you can. I think we can. Brethren, let's stare at the mountain less and at the mountain mover more. Amen. That's not my original either. But ponder the splendor, ponder the majesty, ponder the power, ponder the holiness of God. Another thing, another key, the second key to having a Caleb-like faith is right here. Turn a deaf ear to doubters. Have any doubters in your life, or have you ever had any doubters in your life? Cover your ears when pessimists bark. Ignore the naysayers. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? But when someone sings the blues, you don't have to join the chorus. Joshua and Caleb were outnumbered back then, 40 years earlier, 10-2. But those two guys believed in God's power, right? Look at Joshua 14:18. 14:8. This is Caleb speaking again. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, he's talking about the other 10 spies, made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God, how much? Fully. Whoa. Wow. And Joshua faced the same thing. He not only had a God-drenched mind, but he was filled with God-drenched action. I followed the Lord fully. Even with all these naysayers saying, no, we can't do it, we can't do it. Oh, the giants, the giants. Here's an application. Here's an example. When people express their sincere struggles or questions to you, what do? Kick them out the door? I hope you have the heart to help them. You know what, brethren? Some people don't want help, do they? They don't want help. They don't want to be helped. They prefer the wilderness. They prefer pulling you down rather than pulling you up. And they deal in misery. They manufacture unhappiness. And they spurn any kind of growth. And I've seen that in local churches that I've worked with over the years. I don't see it here, unless it's bubbling under the surface, that kind of attitude. Fear is contagious, brethren. But so is faith. Caleb's faith is contagious, isn't it? I hope it is. I hope it's stirring us up. Caleb and Joshua chose to ignore the 10 doubters. Joshua, we have seen his faith all through this book, time after time, because the Lord said, I will be with you, and we've seen that Joshua believed. Boy, did he ever. Now we're highlighting Caleb, and Caleb's mind is filled with faith, is it not? Could you see that in this reading of Caleb, talking to Joshua? And Caleb took on a God-sized challenge. Here's another key, the last key. The second key is fear disappears when you have this kind of faith in verse 8. I followed the Lord fully. Now we'll catch up with this slide. The third key, set your mind on a high and holy cause like Caleb did. He asked for Hebron. So 13, so Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. That's what Caleb had his eyes set on. The town of Hebron was the location of the cave of Machpelah. Does that ring a bell? It's special to the Israelites. You know why? And here's where it's located. Jerusalem's up here. This is the Dead Sea here. Hebron's right there. And where we're reading now, they are in, Israel has just conquered and cleaned out most of Canaan. And Caleb, Gilgal's up here. That's where their headquarters camp is. And Caleb's asking for this area here. It's going to end up being in the where Judah will take their land. And he's from the tribe of Judah. This is where Abraham had his only piece of property 400 to 500 years earlier. Right there. Jacob had some up in Shechem, but this was his only piece of property, and it was a burial plot. But it was it became very sacred and holy. Even today, it's probably the second most holy place in that land. Joshua 14:2, Caleb says, "Give me this mountain, this hill country." That's what he's asking for. It's the only property Abraham owned. Sarah was buried there. Isaac was buried there. Rebekah buried there. And Jacob. And it disturbed Caleb to see it occupied by unholy people. That would be those Canaanites. Caleb didn't ask for Jerusalem. He didn't ask for Jericho. He didn't ask for lush valleys. He asked for Hebron. Just give me Hebron and I'll take care of it. What does he mean by that? He'll drive out the inhabitants like he was supposed to. Caleb lived for a higher call. And he desired Jehovah's God's righteousness to displace ungodliness there where Abraham used to live hundreds of years earlier. And it's been overrun with stinkiness spiritually. If your problems are great, let's make some application here. Then maybe your cause is too small. If your cause is great, your problem should shrink. Do you have a holy call like Caleb? How high is your calling? Do you have a mission worth living for? How about a faith worth preserving? Do you have a holy cause? Ask God for a Hebron to turn over to His glory. Now, this is important. If you're sleeping, it's time to wake up. Here's some application. Do you have a widow or an orphan to serve? A class to teach? A neighbor or a senior citizen to encourage? A needy family to feed? How about a discouraged person to cheer up? A young person to mentor? Caleb had his cause. Go and take clean Hebron and clean out those wicked people. What's your cause? You know, brethren, it really is better to give than to receive. In Christ's kingdom, we gain by giving, not taking. We grow by helping, not hurting. You want to see your troubles evaporate? Help others with their troubles. What have we looked at this morning? You will always face problems, challenges, and hardships, but you don't have to face them the same way. And your gifts are not about you, and your leadership is not about you, and your purpose is not about you. A life of significance is about serving those who need your gifts, and who need your leadership, and who need your purpose. So immerse your mind in God thoughts, turn a deaf ear to doubters, and set your mind on a holy cause. Those are three things. Those are easy to remember, right? May we all have a different spirit like Caleb and be wholly devoted to God. Amen? We are served. We are saved to serve. We are taught to teach. And we are won to win. And I, over the past year, have been thinking on this very topic and helping those in need. And I often inflict you with what I've been thinking of. over the year. So for the church here in Mount Vernon, first of all, I want you to take one of these, one per couple, and we'll just pass it around. This is helping those in need. These scriptures are not in any sort of context. They are random. They have to do with helping unbelievers and helping believers. They have to do with individuals helping believers and individuals. And there's some in here about a local church helping believers. It's just random, but it's something you can nail onto your refrigerator. Yeah, nail a magnet on there. Hang it on there. And think about these things. All right, let's stand and sing the song that's been selected. Thank you for your attention.